My name is Ruan Mokke. Sometimes when the pastor goes out hunting, he asks me to say something, so that's why I'm here. You know, the thing is, we must always stay teachable. I said it in Afrikaans service as well. And the Lord is really giving me this teachable spirit now, because I'm trying to learn some German. Luckily now, I can say more than just Volkswagen now. But it's nicht so einfach. All right. So let's open our Bibles, or open your Bible app on your phone, for those that have it. 1 Corinthians 2. We will read from verse 12 to verse 14. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order to know what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the natural man does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to know it, since he is evaluated spiritually. If I was going to stand in front Yeah, and tell you about all the things that the Lord has given to us freely, we will be here a very long time. There's not enough coffee there in the back to keep us all awake either, because I won't be able to entertain you for so long. So I've just decided to just take one thing we've received freely from the Lord. You know, and I think it's one of the very first things we've ever received from the Lord. You know, after Adam was created out of dust and Eve from his rib, you know, they had this relationship with God. You know, they talked to him. You know, they discussed their thoughts with him. You know, they walked with him. The Lord said that you must labor in the garden. So they had this relationship with him during their labor. And when they named all the animals, you know, they had this communion with the Lord. And you know, it's so powerful when we have prayers that get answered. You know, it's so amazing. It's so powerful if you speak to the Lord and you get this answer. You get shown signs and you see wonders, you know, and it's so easy to pray without ceasing, because you know, you just see these physical fruits and attributes of the Lord just present in your life. And isn't that the most amazing thing? And isn't that what just separates us from other religions, is that our God is truly alive. Amen. And he's truly in your life, and he's truly working through your life. And it is something that will never get old, like I say, is when you experience the Lord completely. But you know, there's certain things that happens in our lives that shake us. And we're going to read a little bit about that in Matthew 15. Just before I start, I just mentioned in Afrikaans service as well, is that we have had our Awakened Women's Conference, and we've had this men's camp now. And you know, some of us men were very, very blessed to be able to be servants at the Awaken, and just hearing something that has been shared there, and you know, the ability of women, and and how powerful they are, and you know, the plan the Lord has for them, and you know, the word says we must edify each other. Just to edify the woman today, we're going to learn from you this morning, because it's all going to be about a lady today. All right, but it's for us all. So Matthew 15, verse 22. That's the Afrikaans one. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon." Yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, "Send her away, because she cries after us." And he replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came, knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. He answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. This lady cried to the Lord Jesus Christ with something vexing her. And the Lord was silent. Wow. That is tough. You know, and the thing is, just as amazing as it is everything, when everything gets answered or when you see signs and wonders, so tough it is when nothing happens. When the Lord is silent. And you think to yourself, but the Lord is gracious and he's merciful and he's full of love. And I'm telling you now, that is the whole truth. And he doesn't change. But when he's silent, it breaks us. Jonathan Edwards, he was an old theologian, he has got the sermon, it was done in 1741. It's the sermon's name is The Hands, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The insane title makes it interesting, you know, it draws you to the sermon. And it talks about the slippery road, how quick it is to fall, how it's your own body weight that forces you to the ground. And isn't that the problem as well, is when we have silence, the burden or the thing you're bringing to the Lord, it's the weight of it that forces you to fall. It's the weight of that thing that you are yearning for that is forcing you to the ground. And a lot of the time, it's facing the wrong way. You fall facing the wrong way. And some of you might be here today, and the Lord is silent. And he's been silent now, maybe a while. You know, many, many people has experienced the silence of God in Scripture as well. You know, in Genesis 4, Cain says, but Cain answered the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. It's too great. But what is that punishment? Since you are banishing me today from the soil, which is a small thing. And I must hide myself from your presence. That is too much to bear. Moses said in Exodus 33 that if you will not go with us, we will not go. And if you've been through that fire of the silence of the Lord, then you know what I'm talking about this morning. You know this feeling that it is too great. It's too great to bear. Because the enemy comes in that time and he makes the road very slippery. He makes it very slippery to turn the other way. When you're not getting the answers you want, it's so easy to turn your back and run. It's so easy to just make a new plan. He comes and he steals your identity. He says you're nothing. But the Lord says, you're a child of God. He says you're weak and you can't do anything, but the Lord says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. In that time of the silence, when the Lord is silent, the devil wants to make things very slippery for you. And doubt sets in. In James 1, verse 6 to 8, it says, "But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man is unstable in all his ways." Now, if you think I'm standing in front here and telling you that I never doubt, I invite you to have some coffee with me. The thing is doubt is one of those things we know we shouldn't do, but we all do it. It's like sin. But it's the one thing that I really hate when I find myself doubting. Because I can't mention one time the Lord wasn't faithful. I can't say it. I can't be honest to you and say that the Lord is unfaithful. But I doubt. And I hate it. But it's so easy. But the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians said that the spiritual things we should look at spiritually. And that's what we're going to do today with the scripture in Matthew 15. It's going to start with verse 22. It says, "Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came and kept crying out, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly tormented by a demon.'" The lady is calling from a distance. It reminds me of these political figures. You know, there's a room full of journalists, and all of them are asking, shouting out questions, hoping to see if their question will be answered. And those of you who are in Swakop, you're familiar with the guys selling, you know, these Makalani seeds that they want to write your name on. They call from you from across the street for a chance that you might notice them. And I'm so perplexed by the thought that these quick prayers we send, or these prayers you have at night that don't end in amen, but you know, end in it's just a shouting after the Lord. And she calls him son of David. Now the Canaanites did nothing to do with David. The Canaanites, if you remember the story of Noah, came from Ham. Ham is Afrikaans, isn't it? Ham. Long before David. The son of David was just another king for her, of another nation, of another time. Son of David was the Messiah of the Jews. It was a title the Jews used for their Messiah, their Savior. She's not a Jew. There's certain things in our lives that we make God God of, but not the rest. God might be God of my work, but I might not put him as the God of Fuchsinen, of my his giving nature, the provider. The thing is, this piece doesn't say that Jesus didn't hear. And that is something we can take away from this, is that it didn't say Jesus didn't hear. It says Jesus didn't respond. And I'm telling you, if the Lord is silent in your life, He is listening to you. He's hearing what you're saying. But it says in the scripture that yet he did not say a word to her. So his disciples approached him and urged him, "Send her away because she cries out after us." She wasn't crying after them. She was crying after Jesus. He replied, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. First silence and now rejection. But she acknowledged him as the son of David. The one that brings salvation to the Jews. So what does he tell her? "I'm here for the sheep of Israel." Because that's how she approached him. How do you approach the Lord? The problem is, we limit the Lord, not in His ability. The Lord is all-powerful and almighty. Doesn't matter what you think or say about Him. But you limit Him in your life. Because you don't put Him on the throne. You limit God in His ability to work in you and through you. Not that you can physically limit Him. But you limit what He can work in you. And it's you. But it is a painful thought to think that Jesus will first be silent and then give an answer that seems as a rejection. Yeah. And I must be honest, very, very honest, when I say that how easy it is to walk away. How easy is it not, if you do not get what you want, to go make a plan that gets you what you want? How easy is it? Is it chasing off the wind, but it gives you something to do? And that's a beautiful thing about women. Yeah, they believe. Us men, our head needs to be hit hard against a very hard surface a couple of times before we listen. It's the reason why I have so many stitches on my head, no? The son of David, a nation she doesn't belong to. Like I say, that would make many of us fall. But this Canaanite woman, where did she fall? Read it. Verse 25. But she came, knelt before him and said, "Lord, help me." Lord, help me. Now she's not shouting after the Lord. She's in His presence. She's in before Him. She's on her knees. She knows that it's only through Him. She says, "Lord, help me." And this is the amazing thing, I believe, that the Lord showed John in Revelation. The first thing he saw when the heavens opened was God on the throne. The first thing. And if you don't understand Revelation, understand this. God is on the throne. That's where he is. He's king. He's Lord. But as this lady just matures in her faith instantly, she takes steps that's taken me years to accomplish and which I've not yet accomplished even. She does it in moments. But she also falls just as I have fallen so many times. Lord, help me. There's no mention of a daughter in that second plight to the Lord. Help me. Lord, save me. Give me this. Our self-centeredness just rocks in, penetrates it. Our lives. We get so focused on ourselves and our walk, on our path, and our wants and our needs that we struggle to love our neighbor. We don't even see our neighbor, let's be honest, sometimes. We pray prayers. It says, Lord, just make my business prosperous so that I can provide. We miss the point that, Lord, make the business prosperous that we can, that my employees or my colleagues aren't sitting in the street with nothing. You are not there for yourself, you are there for them. Why would you be a light and you put yourself underneath a bucket? Lord, help me to not just think of me. The thing is, we do grow to these places where we experience the Lord as being in control. We know it. It's an intellectual mindset. It is something we grow up with without really acquiring the knowledge of. But this lady grows. Because you would think if the Lord was silent, and then he gives an answer that is not completely what you expect to have if you just fall at his feet, the next answer must be, it must be what I want. It must be what I need. That's not what happens. And he answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Oh. Hectic. What goes through your mind? What overwhelms you? What thoughts swell up within you? The road just gets slippery, more and more slippery. You know, and any self-centered, proudful, boastful human being would have thought, my friends were right. This Canaanite woman came from a place that didn't know God, the living God. She came from a place with friends that were content in being sinful. enjoying it. Content is too a meek word. And they probably told her, why are you going to this guy? He's a Jew. He will not talk to you. He will not help you. They were probably pointing fingers and laughing at her. At this moment when she was rejected for the third time, those that probably followed her were laughing in their with themselves and just saying, we told you. I told you so. And that is what the world is telling you. I told you so. I can't imagine what it must be like. But we have to look at the spiritual thing spiritually. And how difficult it is it not at that stage? Eh? Yes, I would run. I mean, if it was a normal human being, you know, one would be tempted to become physically aggressive. I'm very sure you will lose your arm wrestle with Jesus Christ, even in his fleshly form. Jacob's hip was dislocated just for, you know, when he wrestled with the Lord during the night. So I don't know if anybody of you can dislocate a hip easily. It takes a bit of anesthetics and a knife. But what did she say? What did she say? Yes, Lord, she said. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She calls him Lord. The word there is Adonai. The Lord of heaven and earth. Not just some guy's child. Not just the savior of a nation, but the ruler of the earth. The ruler of a universe, the universe. An almighty God. She's grown from a place where the Lord is only a Lord of a certain aspect, but now he is on the throne, completely sovereign. Exalted above everything, King of kings and Lord of lords. She says, Lord, you are so high. You are so high. I'm putting you in this position, Lord, because that's where you are. You're on the throne of the universe. Your plans are perfect, Lord. She came to this place where she realized that she's less than a dog. She realized she's so filthy. That all her best deeds are like a filthy rag in front of Lord God Almighty. In front of His holiness, we are less than dogs. She came to this place where when you put God on the throne, you realize that even that which seems like nothing is more than you need. Is more than sufficient. You think you need to be able to sit at the table when you don't see God on the throne. But when God is on the throne, the scraps are more than sufficient. The crumbs is more than worthy. She comes to this place where she denies herself. She's looking away from herself. She's humbling herself. And she says, God, what you have, it doesn't matter what it is. The little it even is, I know it is powerful to save. I know, Father, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. This lady has done something in her life in these moments that take us decades to even ponder about. Not even to do. Because it is only the sick that needs a doctor. It's only the sick that needs a doctor. It's only the hungry that needs scraps. It's only the hungry. And this lady grows in her maturity, knowing that she needs this. She needs this. Is there something, someone that can play music, Carol? Thank you. And I want us to just see what. Thank you, Carol. I just want you to see what the Lord, how he approaches her in this last bit. Putting her through this fire, he says, Matthew 15 verse 28, it says, then Jesus replied to her, woman, your faith is great. Your faith has matured. Let it be done as you want. Anything. Let it be done. And from that moment, her daughter was cured. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to know that if you've put only placed God in a position where he's the God of something, you don't know my God. You don't know my Jesus. He's not the God of difficult situations. He's the God of all. If you are struggling to put Christ first in your life, if when you look at him you do not see somebody on the throne, I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. If you only have God in your life for your own profit, I want to pray for you. If you're not wrestling with the Lord, if you're not growing in faith for the Lord, for your neighbor, for his sake, for your children's sake, for your colleague's sake, I want to pray for you. Because how are you going to love your neighbor if you don't even know he's there? And especially this morning, I want to pray for those, for those persons that you're experiencing God is silent. That burden that is too heavy to carry. You're in front of the Lord and you're giving him something that is so raw and you're experiencing his silence. And you feel it's slippery now. Lord, I'm slipping. Lord, I thought I knew you. But this is too much. I want you to understand that silence is necessary. Silence builds us. Silence makes sense of everything. When I'm talking, I need to make pauses in my sentences so that you understand what I'm saying. The Lord pauses sometimes. so you can understand what he's telling you. I'm not just the God of some nation. I'm not just the son of some guy. I'm the one that brings your salvation. I'm the Lord of that guy that doesn't even know I'm his God. I am his God. And I can work through him for your good, for your neighbor's good. The Lord is silent. Be expectant. Be expectant. You're going to feel your heart break. But you're going to realize even that which seems like nothing is sufficient from the Lord. Even the crumbs makes his power perfect in our weakness. I want you to come to the front. Anybody, everybody that needs prayer, we'll pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are on the throne. You are high above all. Our words fall so far short of exalting you as you need to be exalted, Father. Father, our words fall so far short of edifying your name. Lord, it's not about us, Father, and our little box, Father. Our little light underneath our bucket, Father. Father, it's about you, Father. Father, you are the God. You are even the God of the silences. Father, and we just come knowing, Father, that we are nothing, Father. But through you, Father, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, Father. You've told us that we are conquerors and we are sons and daughters of the living God, Father. And we know that, Father. And thank you, Father, that you listen. And thank you that you do not always speak, Father. Because we do not want to shout from a distance, Father. We want to kneel at your feet, Father. Father, sometimes we need to wash your feet with our tears, Father, and dry it with our hair, Father. Father, because you are worthy, Father. Father, in this precious gift you've given us, Father, of this relationship with you, Father. Father, help us not, Father, not to look idly upon it, Father. Not to, Father, just throw it to the side. Father, thank you, Father, that you are always there, Father. Even if we bring disgrace to you, Father, the Holy Spirit just comes, Father, gives us new strength that we can soar on wings like eagles. Thank you, Father, for your strength and your grace and your love, Father, and knowing the perfect way, Father, for our lives. In Jesus' name.